Diary, A Divine Savior. Elmshaven, St. Helena, California. August 9th, 1903. The Lord is my helper. My heart goes forth unto God, that He will, upon this first day of the week, give me His wisdom and grace to answer the many letters that have come to me. I desire that my every word shall be of such a character that my Heavenly Father shall approve. I am the Lord's child, His messenger, and I must in everything glorify His holy name. The words I trace to go forth to others must be words that will enlighten and comfort. I must not speak one word to discourage. Christ longed to fill the world with a peace and joy that would be a similitude of that found in the heavenly world. And seeing the multitudes, He went up into a mountain. And when He was set, His disciples came unto Him, and He opened His mouth and taught them, saying, Blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are they that mourn, for they shall be comforted. Blessed are the meek, for they shall inherit the earth. Blessed are they which do hunger and thirst after righteousness, for they shall be filled. Blessed are the merciful, for they shall obtain mercy. Blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall see God. Blessed are the peacemakers, for they shall be called the children of God. Blessed are they which are persecuted for righteousness' sake, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are ye when men shall revile you and persecute you, and shall say all manner of evil against you falsely for my sake. Rejoice and be exceeding glad, for great is your reward in heaven, for so persecuted they the prophets which were before you. Matthew 5, verse 1 to 12. August 10th, 1903. This morning my heart is drawn out to God in earnest longing of soul for the Holy Spirit's guidance. What words can I speak but will be appreciated and understood? When Christ was in our world, He said to the Pharisees and scribes, Why do ye not understand my words and appreciate them? They were continually placing their own construction upon the plain words of truth that fell from His lips. There were occasions when He spoke with the authority of His own greatness. The treasures of eternity were at His command. He spoke representing the soul of universal goodness. He was conscious of His power and His mission. The world had come forth from the hand of God in purity and loveliness, but when Christ came, He found it seared and marred with the curse of sin. He longed to refine, purify, and sanctify a people who would receive and impart His instruction through belief of the truth, the breath of the higher life. With clearness and power, He spoke the words that were to come down to our time as a treasure of goodness. What precious words they were, and how full of encouragement! From His divine lips there fell with fullness and abundant assurance the benedictions that showed Him to be the fountain of all goodness, and that it was His prerogative to bless and impress the minds of all present. He was engaged in His peculiar, sacred province, and the treasures of eternity were at His command. In the disposal of them, He knew no control. It was no robbery with Him to act in the office of God. In His blessings, He embraced those who were to compose His kingdom in this world. He had brought into the world every blessing essential to the happiness and joy of every soul. And before that vast assembly, He presented the riches of the grace of heaven, the accumulated treasures of the eternal, everlasting Father. Here He specified who should be the subjects of His heavenly kingdom. He did not speak one word to flatter the men of the highest authority, the worldly dignitaries. but he presents before all the traits of character which must be possessed by the peculiar people who will compose the royal family in the kingdom of heaven. He specifies those who shall become heirs of God and joint heirs with himself. He proclaims publicly his choice of subjects and assigns them their place in his service as united with himself. Those who possess the character specified will share with him in the blessing and the glory and the honor that will ever come to him. Those who are thus distinguished and blessed will be a peculiar people, trading upon the Lord's gifts. He speaks of those who shall suffer for his name's sake as receiving a great reward in the kingdom of heaven. He spoke with the dignity of one who had unlimited authority, one who had all heavenly advantages to bestow upon those who would receive him as their Savior. Men may usurp the authority of greatness in this world, but Christ does not recognize them. They are usurpers.
There were occasions when Christ spoke with an authority that sent his words home with irresistible force, with an overwhelming sense of the greatness of the speaker, and the human agencies shrunk into nothingness in comparison with the one before them. They were deeply moved. Their minds were impressed that he was repeating the command from the most excellent glory. As he summoned the world to listen, they were spellbound and entranced, and conviction came to their minds. Every word made for itself a place, and the hearers believed and received the words that they had no power to resist. Every word he uttered seemed to the hearers as the life of God. He was giving evidence that he was the light of the world and the authority of the church, claiming preeminence over them all. The Word was made flesh and dwelt among us, and we beheld his glory, the glory of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. John bare witness of him and cried, saying, "This was he of whom I spake. He that cometh after me is preferred before me, for he was before me." John 1, verse 14, 15. Yes, he was before John, and shrouded in the pillar of cloud by day and the pillar of fire by night, he led the children of Israel through the wilderness. And of his fullness have all we received, and grace for grace. Verse 16. John was a burning and a shining light, but he was not that light which was to lighten the whole world with the brightness of redeeming love. He was before John, for he existed from eternity with the Father. August 11, 1903. I have had a broken night, but I thank my Heavenly Father that I have had opportunity to meditate and to commune with Christ my Savior. When I consider that God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life, my heart is filled with thanksgiving and praise. John 3, verse 16. By faith I place my hand in the hand of Christ and say, I thank thee, O Lord, for this wonderful sacrifice made in my behalf. O give me constantly an increasing capability to understand and appreciate the precious gift. When affliction comes upon me and I suffer much pain, then I remember that Christ, my precious Savior, has borne physical and mental agony, such as it is impossible for us to estimate. As I contemplate his suffering, the strain becomes too great, and I say, Lord, I cannot bear it. Then the representation of the Lord's grace and love, given so freely to all who believe, melts and breaks my heart. O God, the living and true God, teach me thy way, thy will in such simplicity that I can bear it. Help me to walk humbly with thee. Give me power to bear thy yoke. Help me to learn of thee to become meek and lowly. Thou hast invited every soul. Take my yoke upon thee and learn of me, for I am meek and lowly in heart. Matthew 11, verse 29. In learning of the great teacher his meekness and lowliness, they will find rest. I praise the Lord for his love and compassion for me, and not for me only, but for all the world. August 12, 1903. Last night in my sleep, I seemed to be before a large company addressing them. We need constantly a sense of the divine presence, and we need also humble trust in God. Let us pray without ceasing. Wherever we are or whatever we are doing, let us ask the Lord to help and strengthen us to do His holy will. I am worried and perplexed because many professing godliness are not following the will and way of Christ. My soul is in distress because I cannot see that they heed the admonitions and the warnings God has given. Seemingly, they are unconscious of their true state. Today, Christ is offering His grace to them if they will cooperate with Him to work out their own salvation with fear and trembling, lest they shall lose the opportunities granted them. They are ever to remember that it is God which worketh in them, both to will and to do of His good pleasure. Reason, conscience, memory must be brought under the control of Christ. They are to put on the gospel armor and arouse every slumbering energy to resist Satan's deceptions. We cannot afford to be on the losing side, for we are not warring against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against spiritual wickedness in high places. Although tempted and tried, we are to exercise patience, refusing by hasty speech to gratify the enemy. We are to exercise full faith in God. Humanity is to be sanctified, that in the place of revealing anger, we may reveal the meekness and lowliness of Christ. The Savior's invitation is, "Learn of me, for I am meek and lowly in heart, and ye shall find rest unto your souls. For my yoke is easy, and my burden is light." Verses 29-30.